The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Taking your relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight, alternative sex, hence the music, the different theme song. This show is, this particular show, the first Wednesday of every month, we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. It's a regular feature here on Passion. You get to ask your questions about BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, domination, submission, anything kinky, fetishes.
All the good stuff.
All the stuff on the fringe. You know, I hesitate to say on the fringe because every time I look at the studies, that's not what it shows. And I looked at a study in Europe, compared it to the study in Quebec, and it's very similar. Almost half of the population interested in some form of
kink. But they still don't tell people that they do it.
Isn't that interesting?
It's still lots of people are doing it. Everybody knows everybody's doing it nowadays. It's on TV and everything, but it's still that little bit taboo, that little bit where, you know, behind closed doors thing.
Right.
So you're telling us we're no longer alternative.
Well, you know, sometimes I hesitate to use alternative because of that.
We're mainstream.
Well, I'd have to say that a lot of BDSM and a lot of kink is mainstream now, considering if half...
If half you're saying I'm normal, that means I'm just like everybody else. I thought I was so special.
You know I hate that word.
I know, I'm teasing you.
That is not a word I ever use, is normal.
Especially about me.
Well, but anybody really. Tonight, so the voices you hear are Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. They run a fabulous website. Pretty much everything you want to know about this topic is on there. Look, there's what, 1,000 pages you're up to?
Yeah, it's about 3,000.
3,000 pages?
Well, with everything, there's all kind of stuff. But do you realize we don't have time to write more article because we're busy, too busy with everything?
I know. Well, you also have other lot. Like, you know, this isn't just what you
it's
do.
It's not what we do to make
so
a
maybe,
living.
How about we talk about who you are so our listeners, we'll do a little refresher for some of our newer listeners, too.
Disappointingly Catherine. Normal. we work jobs. We have a little house. We have pets. We have hobbies. We, you know, could be shopping beside you in the grocery store and you never know.
That's right.
But we also have a little dungeon in our home, and together we have submissives or slaves that are consensual, and we've been doing that for a lot of years.
I really don't like the word slaves.
Well, I know, but it's a kink. It's
a role
but it's
play.
A sexual slave,
okay.
And it's consensual.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, they've agreed to do a power exchange,
and they have
safe
to
words.
Being called that.
They love to be called that.
Actually, they do.
Because I tend to call them submissives, and I'll have them like, but I'd rather be your slave. Can't you call me your slave?
So what is the attraction to being someone's slave? Like, explain what it is and how is that connected sexually?
Well, do you want to go? Okay, I'll say it.
Go ahead, Catherine.
Can't shut me up. You know, they get to give up power, which to some people doesn't sound good. But if you're with somebody that you trust, first of all, there's fun sex games and exploration that, you know, I'm not saying this very well.
They call this sexploration.
Yes, sexploration.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to give up power and not worry about anything and know that as long as they basically do as they're told, everything's going to be taken care of. Everything's going to be okay. You know, they know that even if activities will seem dangerous, that, you know, the dominant's in control and they're not really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
They'll seem a lot more on edge than they are often.
What do you think draws people to that?
In the past, it used to be the taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're the first one to mention that the taboo has disappeared. So it's more like a need. It's like Catherine was saying, they want to surrender. They want to give away the power so they can relax. There's a term actually we used to call surrendering. You surrender everything, so you're no longer in control. So it's relaxing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a businessman and you're on power all the time, and you know you're dealing with companies, you're dealing with a lot of employees and all of this responsibility. Well, for maybe for a certain amount of time, you're no longer that. You could be the slave of, for instance, Mr. Scadron. Mm-hmm. And for some people, this is what they look. And of course, they always have a bit of kink in their head. So
there's the arousal part, because it's mixed with the arousal. It's one thing about surrendering. I surrender my power. You tell me what to do now. Okay, I get that. And then there's the attachment.
That's arousing.
And so that's arousing. Okay, yes. So that... that part, and I wonder sometimes if it's the tabooness of it, not the taboo of being submissive. You know, it's like if a person is in a powerful position, then for them it might be taboo to be submissive, and that therefore that might be the thing that's arousing to them.
That's interesting, because a lot of these people, they don't want everybody else to know what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the
secrecy is
most
quite important.
Professionals. And there is a lot of professionals that want to be submissives.
Well, that's what the studies show, that it's often people in high-powered positions that tend to seek out mistresses.
Like policemen and CEOs and pilots and things like that are in charge. You know, like if it's a pilot, they're the top guy on the plane and everything is on their back and all the decisions. And it's really nice for them to relax
and by the way,
worry about it.
Men and women, not just men.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. So this person wants to say, but how is surrendering power connected to sexual arousal? Why is that sexually arousing?
The taboo. It's, I don't know. This is something that society created. Each time you do something, each time you do something that you're not supposed to do, you know, like, oh, I'm doing this. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Right.
And it seems to be
more exciting
and somewhere and somehow sexual. Don't ask me why. You're the specialist.
Well,
here.
It's also, you know, if you've got inhibitions about something, you can kind of do this whole thing. Well, you know, I was tied up. So, you know, I was tied up and they were doing that. So, of course, I had to orgasm. I couldn't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, it will almost like give them permission to do this. There's a lot of taboos and guilt.
But, you know, in terms of why people develop this, because this is where we don't know much about, is that we understand what they do. We understand what's arousing. We don't often understand why. For a lot of activities, specific scenarios or situations that are arousing to people, specific fetishes that are arousing to people, we know there's a few theories around, like conditioning theories or, you know, where you saw this, you paired the arousal with a moment in your life when something might have happened or connected with an object, for example. So we know there are some theories around that, but still not well understood, I have to tell you.
We have met a lot of people through the years, and one thing we've noticed is there's some people, they must do something different. And some people, you know, they're going to listen to music that is different, do sports that is different, do
extreme sports
or anything, you know. And so there's a certain crowd there. There's another crowd, and this is where it becomes really important when we talk about lifestyle or about alternative philosophy, that they're looking for something else. We can talk about the people who believe in genearchy, you know, who believe that the women are superior, a superior race in some form.
Sorry.
That's okay. Well, we can have this discussion. It's all good. Let me give out the numbers, though, for our listeners. 514-800, if you want to text in a question for Pierre and Catherine or want to know more about BDSM, fetishes, kinks. There's some things I can talk to you about. There's things they can talk to you about. So if you have any questions, tonight's the night for that. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up, we also want to talk about a fetish. What are fetishes, and is BDSM a fetish, and what's the difference? And some people are lifestyle, this is their lifestyle, and others it is more of a fetish situation. So we'll talk about that.
from the pleasure to the pain and everything in between. Passion with Dr. Lori. News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, tonight from the pleasure to the pain, sometimes both. And you may not understand it, that's okay. But we do know that there are plenty of people who are practitioners of BDSM, period. So
I like the introduction, by the way.
You like that, yeah. But again, you know, I know many of our listeners don't know about this or have not been exposed to this, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, this is why we bring you in, so that we can educate and learn about this, even if it's simple curiosity. It's good to know what almost half the population has some interest in.
Well, you know, and if you're looking in on a scene, if you ever experience this, watching two people, it can look pretty scary. It can look really non-consensual. It can look like someone's really being abused, because what you don't know is that person has, or at least certainly should have, a safe word that they can safely stop it, that they can signal. Because sometimes in the scene, no, no, no is yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, which in real life, that's not the case.
No, of course not. But this is a pre-negotiated, it's a scene that you're doing. It's not real life.
It has a script, just about, right? It almost it has conditions to it.
Well, it definitely has conditions, because, you know, you want to make sure, first of all, that you've negotiated and you've talked about it. And I'll tell you, it's been my experience, and even a lot of very experienced players and people even that have been in the lifestyle for a long time don't actually do full negotiation and proper negotiation. Mm. Because you know what? It's uncomfortable.
Well,
even after all these years, because you're really talking about nitty gritty. You really got to talk about the primal stuff. And you know what? If you've been embarrassed your whole life to say you've had a rape fantasy, you need to tell me. We need to know about this. Right. And we need to find out what that fantasy was, because there could be a lot of scenarios.
Which could potentially trigger bad stuff.
Absolutely.
Right.
You have to have safe words and things like that. But, you know, at the same point, it can be a really fun, hot, exciting thing that's done in a safe environment where you can live out that fantasy and yet be safe about it. So, I mean, you're still actually in control, because you can stop it if it gets too overwhelming.
So I think that's a good point, that the outsider looking in may get
the wrong impression,
frightened by what's
Absolutely.
Going on, or will judge it to be something else that it isn't. So understanding what goes on in the minds of people who are practitioners of BDSM. So there's a difference of there's practitioners and there's lifestylers. What's the difference?
Well, some people will actually have like almost like a moral code to it a little bit more than others. And by that, I'm not just talking about hopefully everybody's consensual, but where they live it basically outside the bedroom or outside the dungeon.
Okay.
So in day-to-day things, you have agreed that this person has authority over you.
We have friends that live together and have been together for years, where basically they negotiated where the dominant would take the decision about money, about the family, and the submissive would follow it because they're comfortable like this.
So they choose to live a life that some of us would say, ooh, that's misogynistic.
Yeah,
or that's
very like 50s household.
Right.
But it could be the female that's... It's 50s household where you've got one is, you know,
it could
the dominant or like kind of the boss of the relationship.
Right. Yeah.
And the other one, which could be the female, could be the male, because it goes back and forth, is submissive.
And the other type of people are some people who basically do the role play. Tonight, you're going to be the dominant and I'm going to be the submissive. So usually the play is not as hard or as extreme in this case. So
that wouldn't be the lifestyler.
No, that would be
not
players.
Usually.
And there's nothing wrong about being a player or lifestyler. It's just different needs.
A lot of the, like most of the population, I would say, who like some of this stuff, don't do this as a lifestyle. They do this because
do it very discreetly.
Well, but many people will practice certain kinky play, whether it's
because it's fun.
Spanking, whether it's blindfolding, whether will experiment in that realm, or at least are interested in it. And that's according to a big study here in Quebec, almost, well, I think it was like 47% or something of the population has some interest in that. Now, there's a smaller proportion of people who practice this all day. Like they have this, but it's not always sexual. And one texter writes, and not everyone who likes to surrender power necessarily wants to be a submissive slave. Example, religious humility, etc. So you can surrender your power.
Certainly.
But how is that not submissive?
If you look at the relationship, like in the 50s, where in theory the man was, the boss of the household, I don't think the women at the time saw themselves as submissive.
Or at least they didn't see themselves as slaves.
They did their chore. At the time, the women would stay home to raise the kids because at the time they could afford to do this, which now in the 2017, not many family can do that.
Well, it was symbiotic roles.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, it's you can be a dominant, but if you don't have submissives, who you're bossing around.
Right.
So I think it's a balance where, kind of the submissive has things that they're supposed to be doing too, and you have different roles. I mean, often the submissive will do things to make the dominant's life better. It could be cleaning their house. It could be
cooking.
It could be helping to plan a meal. It could be all sorts of things. But then the dominant often will do what they call lifestyle training, and it could be that. Helping them with weight loss, quitting smoking,
We actually do this with some of our submissive.
So that's where it becomes a lifestyle, like living it outside in a way.
Yes.
And that has really very little to do with sexual arousal. I don't see where the connection is.
Well, yes or no.
Cleaning your house, how's that arousing?
Because they're doing it for their dominant.
And then there's their big reward at the end of it.
Oh, okay. So there's a reward.
You have to understand, and this is something that's kind of hard to explain, but there's a lot of people in BDSM who have different fetishes. And they use these fetish as reward or as a base for their play. Mm-hmm. It could be latex. It could be worshipping boots, feet, or whatever other part of the body you want to figure out. So there's something there. Earlier you mentioned about a listener that would not understand what we do. And this is really important. If your love life is perfect right now, don't change a thing. But for some people, they want more. And this is where they go into alternative sexuality because they're looking for something more.
Yeah.
And also, when you were saying about cleaning your house, they're not normally just cleaning the house in the regular clothes. So they might be dressed up.
Oh.
They might have a CBT, which is like a kind of leather bondage around their
testicles.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I was searching for that word. And their penis. Mm-hmm. Or it could be that a female has a butt plug in or is doing it in handcuffs. Or it could be on a 100-foot chain going through the house that they're attached and they have to go and clean things. And be quiet because you're on hardwood floors.
Yeah, and the chain are going on the floor and you're giving them shit.
You realize we're listening to all of this.
But this is fun
I'm listening. Yes, and I'm sure that I echo what a lot of people are thinking right now and thinking, wow, that's strange. Like it isn't in your world.
No.
It's just that it's tough to understand when you don't need it. I'm looking at it, I would never do that. It just does not appeal in the least bit.
Well, it's like a lot of people who are heterosexual and aren't attracted to the same sex can still appreciate that others are. And it's kind of like that.
Yes.
I often, Pierre and I will compare it to an extreme sport. And I see people do extreme sports and I think they are crazy.
Right.
Why on earth would you want to do that? You're going to be hot and tired and it's going to hurt you. And it's like, that just doesn't look fun at all to me. But, there's people who want to go to that mountain on a snowboard. Mm-hmm. not me.
Right. But you can appreciate it.
I can appreciate they want to do it and that they've learned their craft and they do it safely.
So extreme sex for you is what it is, really.
Well, this is the way we describe it. You were mentioning earlier about some people cleaning the house and we put them in situation. Some regular people, quote unquote, will put music to clean the house. They will dance while they're cleaning the house. If it worked, great. You know? Right.
Well, again, to each his own, and that's the you know, the bottom line here is whatever you choose to do that is safe and consensual and legal. We try not to judge that, and the purpose here is to try to understand. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com are here tonight to answer those questions. M says the women from the 50s didn't get turned on by their submissive roles. I'm sure they didn't.
But they were proud to be mother. They were proud to keep their house clean. So
yeah, and some of them secretly were like, you know.
Well,
because it's not for everybody.
No, it's not for everybody. And even in the 50s, they were where the men were supposed to be the boss. I know there were some family where the women were the boss.
Yeah, secretly. They secretly made all the decisions, of course. 514-800 if you have any thoughts or questions about BDSM or fetishes. We'd love to hear from you. You can also call in, of course, at 514-790-0800. Pierre and Catherine join me every month to discuss alternative sexuality. You know, most days here on Passion, we talk about run-of-the-mill stuff. But
we have to find another word for alternative now.
Well, you know, it's still more alternative, at least for the stuff we talk about on Passion. It is more alternative than the regular you know, everyday kinds of questions
normal.
And things we get. No,
just teasing
you. Not normal.
Because you're looking for other words. I know what you're saying. The regular, the everyday.
You know I don't like normal.
I know you don't.
Yes, because it would imply that this is abnormal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I understand.
Right. And I guess there was a time when, yes, this was considered abnormal or perverse or something, but we don't go there anymore. And this is how times have changed. And anyway, we can have a whole discussion about where things are going. And some people take it very far and think it's going to normalize every bad, you know, other behaviors that are not legal and not consensual. But anyway, we won't go there right now.
The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
The latest trends and hottest topics, love and sex, handled honestly and with passion. Here's Dr. Lori. CJAD 800.
Tonight on the program, Alternative Sexuality, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com are here. They join me every month and we pick apart and talk about this and find the different angles and answer your questions as well. 514-800 to text in. So texter writes, what's your opinion on a couple visiting a pro dom? Will it enhance or damage the relationship?
Oh.
So a couple isn't, would both of them want to, does
they
this
might.
Imply that they're both submissive?
They could be.
Okay.
We've had couples that were submissive.
Or they're just swingers because there's a huge swinger community out there too.
Who also engage in BDSM.
Yep. Okay. Well, kind of. It's more like kinky sex.
Okay.
Because
what's
BDSM, the rule in BDSM and the rule for swingers are kind of...
like etiquette?
They take it as contrary to each other. So,
what do you mean?
In BDSM, when there's a play happening, you don't want anybody else to join you. If somebody gets, let's say, between me and my submissive, he's taking a big risk.
Okay.
When you're a swinger, because we talk to people who are swingers, they encourage people to join them.
It's more of an orgy. Come on. It's a little more freer.
You know?
Okay. Less rules.
Less rules. Okay. And part of it is you know, beyond safe sex of condom use and that, you know, it's not as dangerous either, whereas BDSM can be dangerous. You don't know what you're doing depending on the play. You know, you certainly don't want someone who doesn't know what's going on or hasn't negotiated around you or to touch
in.
You or whatever.
Right.
And unfortunately, they tend to be a... And I'm sorry for swingers out there. I'm not saying everybody. First of all, let me do a disclaimer. But they tend to be a bit more grabby. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a, if I bring a submissive on a, you know, as a collar and a leash, let's say, into a club, mm-hmm. and it's a BDSM place, nobody is going to touch that submissive. I can have them going behind me. I don't have to watch them. they're fine.
Everybody knows the rules.
Everybody knows the rules. Everybody knows the etiquette. Nobody would do something like that. Whereas, or if they're tied up, especially because this is someone who's vulnerable, mm-hmm. right? So someone could come up, and so nobody would. It's.
Let's say, like she said, my submissive is tied up, and somebody grab her breast. Let's say while I'm playing with her, that person is touching my object, my property,
and without consent, and
it's without consent. So I have to defend her because she's under my care,
right?
You know, and I don't want her not to trust me because I let somebody else, a stranger, touch her.
Which it would be very different if it was in a swingers club.
Well, swingers club, yeah. Like, come and join us. We're going to have more fun.
Right, right. Okay, I got that. So in this one, a couple visiting a pro dom, I would imagine this couple would have had to have a lot of conversation.
Yes.
What they each want, what they each expect, so that they don't go in it and they don't know what the other one wants, and then one engages, and then the other one says, wait a second, we didn't agree upon that, or I didn't want you to have sex, or I didn't want you to do this. So all of this must be negotiated prior to visiting.
In my experience, the biggest problem with a couple is that one will have different limits than the other.
Okay.
And for instance, you may get one of the couples that wants quite a hard spanking, and the other person's, and they're fine with it. They're good. What's happening is all good, but the spouse isn't.
Okay.
The spouse can get, if they're not prepared, upset to see their spouse in a submissive position.
Okay.
Even though it's consensual and they know they can stop it. And if it is case, it's often the spouse that will call the safe word.
Hmm.
Before the submissive who's actually having the action done on them, they're fine. They want more, and
the partner would be the one that might not be comfortable with it, and so they'll call out the safe word. So, the advice would be make sure you have these discussions ahead of time.
Exactly, and you go with an actual professional dominant, not one that's just charging money.
Okay.
And most pro dom though they will not have any sexual encounter. So it will be about pure S&M or domination. So
you need to know what you're getting into as well.
Yeah, well, you should do some negotiation beforehand with the professional dominatrix.
Okay.
If she is a professional, she will want to. She will give you a safe word. If she doesn't, run the other way.
Okay.
She should have one of the signs that she's going to be professional is that she's in professional clothes. Mm-hmm. And by that she, you know, does she have leather corset? Is she dressed to the nines? Is she dressed the part? Does she have a dungeon? Does she have equipment?
Okay.
You know, has she been around for a while?
If she charged big bucks and she does this in her living room with her dress and jeans,
then it's a whole other story. Yeah. Okay, so check out what you're getting.
Good question.
I got this text. To be a submissive slave is very arousing. I'm assuming this is from somebody who is a submissive. To provide complete and total care for another person, to know that my mistress is relying on me to provide for her and only I can fulfill that need can nearly be orgasmic, whether it's sexual or something mundane as a household chore. So that goes back that goes back to the connection between arousal and the act of submission. For some people, that's exactly what it produces. That,
yep.
that
it's like foreplay.
Arousal. Right. Okay. So it's foreplay for them.
And for the listener, Catherine has a huge grin right now.
So you, off air, we were talking about the submissives, and you said there's like a lineup. Like, are there like that many people that want to do this?
Yes.
Men.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Men and women.
Women too, but less women than men.
Okay.
Okay, because let's face it, women are easier to find sexual partners.
That's true. They control the sex.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm really lucky. I mean, I'm, you know.
Do you get
not 20.
You
we'll
get
just
requests.
Say not 20.
You get a lot of requests.
Sure do. More than I could ever fulfill if I didn't work full time.
But here's the problem. Many of these men are not really serious.
And no, they just want a scene. They don't want a relationship.
Okay.
And she wants a relationship.
Right, because you do this as a lifestyler.
Exactly.
Yes, and I want an ongoing relationship. I and you know what? People think because we have an open relationship with rules that, you know, just anybody's attraction. It's like, no, I have really specific tastes.
Okay. So not everybody who walks through your door saying, I want to be your submissive.
Goodness, no.
Right.
Okay. We receive email. I'm going to be in town that weekend. And can you house me? I would submit. And it's like, no.
Right.
This is not the way it works.
Well, it would work if they were paying you, right?
Well,
that would be a whole
if
other...
if that was my business.
Right, but it's not your business.
No, nope, not at all.
And I guess that's the difference, is there are professional people, there are professional men and women, I guess, who do this as a living. This is the work that they do. You can hire them to be dominant with you and pay them money. And then there are other people who do this because it's their lifestyle, like you guys.
It's
how we're wired.
Right. It's how you feel you're wired.
There is a difference. I know I got a couple of emails last month because I called a professional dom a sex worker. Mm-hmm. I'll stand behind that. I'm not saying that they have intercourse.
Right.
That, you know, I think it's a very few that will or perform what is normally considered sexual acts. But I still think this is the sex industry. I think people are kidding themselves if they're saying they're not sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
And
kind of sex work.
Yes, yes. I'm not saying that they're prostitutes. Mm-hmm. I'm saying they're a sex worker. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bigger field than just a prostitute. And, you know, I still stand behind what I say, that this is a business. And they should be paid.
For some people.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about for professional doms.
Professional doms, yeah.
Professional doms. It's a business. They're providing a service.
And this is really important because often these ladies, they're going to study the market. They're going to create a service that will be personalized for some type of customer. So they're basically entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And they would invest money to get a good dungeon running, publicity. So, I mean, it's a very essential service for the people who need it.
There seems to be quite a few, as you say, quite a few, especially men, who look for this kind of service. I know I've met plenty in my practice, for example, who try to understand this part of themselves, but who actually look for this. So,
Straight Talk that's all inclusive. Passion with Dr. Lori. News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
All inclusive is certainly what we try to be on Passion, which is why we also focus on BDSM. Yes, maybe a smaller portion of the population engages in it, but believe it or not, it's a whole lot more than we think.
Is it that small? I mean,
it's not that small, but it's smaller than, let's say, maybe the vanilla people, you know, vanilla sex people.
Do you know what the percentage of gay people are?
10%.
Wow.
10%. Yeah, that's a number that gets more or less thrown around, I think. Is about 10%.
And yet you're saying almost 50% do kink. I'm surprised.
Yeah, but in 40-something percent, according to the statistics I've read, mm-hmm. and Europe statistics and Quebec statistics as well, in terms of people's interest, not just practitioners.
Interest.
I'm not sure how many people are actual practitioners. And because BDSM is such a wide, there's such a wide range of activity from, if somebody equates it with just blindfolding, for example, many people might have done that, or binding your hands, or, you know, tying you to the bedpost, or things like that. Those are things that many, many people either want to engage in, have thought about it, fantasize about. So it's all part of, you know, a lot of people's experience. I would say at least half the population's experience.
I would think so.
Yeah. So that's why there's such a huge range. But now, you know, you practice it as a lifestyle. you have submissives, that you have your own, you know, stable of submissives.
Yes. It's a little, you the have terms a, down
yes, I know. I'm learning. You have your dungeon, a little bit like the 50 Shades of Grey, although not as nice, I hear, but it's
he's
still
got a gymnasium
dungeon.
As a
yes,
dungeon.
Yes, I know, I know,
his,
I know.
His was bigger, but I was actually was really disappointed in that dungeon, because if I had that money in that space, oh boy, I'd be a lot more inventive than that.
Right, right, right. I'm sure you could do a lot more with that, right. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of space here. There's a lot of in between, a lot of shades of gray. I know you hate that one. But this is the perfect way to say it. There are many shades of gray, and many shades of sexuality, and many shades of interest, many shades of kink, many different fetishes too. There is, I think, for any, there's a fetish for everything. This
Absolutely.
Is what I'm learning, is that people can fetishize just about anything. And just for people to know what a fetish is, basically, it's called the sexual fetish or erotic fetishism. It's the sexual arousal a person receives from a physical object or from a specific situation.
Body part.
Well, it can be a body part, but a body part that isn't that isn't viewed as a sexual body part. So, which is interesting, because you ask men, are you a breast man? Are you a leg man? Are you whatever? And they might say they really need to touch breasts to feel aroused, but yet we don't call that a fetish.
But
we call that normal, right?
But there's a lot of men that are interested in feet.
Yes, the foot fetish is a very common one. Yep. It's probably the most common one that I see, actually. This texter writes, I think it's probably a lot more prominent than people think. I used to be an avid practitioner of BDSM in my past life, and I bet you if you would ask any single person I know, he would swear it wasn't possible. I don't think there's a type. Just blend in nicely. So again, here's someone who says you'd never know it. Nobody would, you'd never know that was me and that I was an avid practitioner, because it's something that we do in technically behind closed doors anyway,
yes.
In the bedroom. There's sometimes we see, you know, like I know it when I go to the Salon de l'Amour, whatever, you have people there who walk around with collars, and like you clearly you say, oh yeah, that's a submissive. Like,
yeah, but,
when you
yeah,
know,
and that might be an okay place to do it, because it's an adult
it's
situation.
It's an adult situation, yeah,
right.
And it's a sex salon and that. But
walking
most BDSMers are, who even live it as a lifestyle, are discreet.
Right.
It's my personal belief that you shouldn't be in other people's face.
It's
they're non-consensual. They haven't said they want to see a submissive doing something or other, right?
Right.
But a lot of it's really subtle. So, for instance, we know a couple that she always waits until he gives her the cue to eat at dinner. And the way they'll do that is, I mean, you can be sitting at the table, he'll turn and say bon appetit. And she'll say that to him, and then they start eating. But unless you realize that there is a kink behind this,
right,
you'd never realize.
Right.
There's lots of subtle ways of doing this that it's not, you know.
It's not in anybody's face, as you would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, there's right. You know, nobody's going to complain, even if a child's sitting at the table.
Right.
But like you said, it should be behind closed door, or, you know, among...
Again, what people do in the confines of their homes and bedrooms...
It's their business.
In a consensual manner
and
in a legal way, I don't see what the issue is. The issue becomes, at least for me as a psychologist, is when somebody is distressed by their urges. So if, for example, I will, you know, a foot fetishist might come to see me and say, look, I'm... really disturbed. I don't want to have this fetish. I don't know what it is. I'm disturbed by it. My partner hates it. It's ruining my relationship. I'm having trouble with this. So that's when it becomes problematic, when it is distressing to the person, again, or disturbs their relationship. I had a client who was a diaper fetishist, right?
Yes.
So
adult baby
a baby
play.
Yeah, baby play, or there's
adult
a few different
play.
Adult baby, right? And this was something that he's had his whole life. Mm-hmm. We traced it back and we were able to find what it was, but he had never told his wife about it. And then finally decided to share because his ultimate fantasy would have been for his wife that he loved to be involved and so that he can express some of that stuff with her. And of course it didn't go well and it wasn't taken well. And, you know, there was a risk with that. And so it was very distressing to that relationship. When that marriage ended, he might have then felt the freedom to express it. And then, you know, it was clear, like, if you're going to get involved again, make sure somebody knows it, like your partner knows about this, so you can at least feel safe and incorporate it somehow. And then the need went away. Like, when it was accepted, it was like, oh, I don't even need to do this as much anymore. You know, when it was taboo, that was when it was really exciting. Yeah. And the less it became taboo, the less exciting it actually was.
What you're saying is really important because you have to find somebody who's like you, who has the same fetish that you have or the same needs. Me and Catherine, we met through a specialized website about BDSM because we were looking for another partner that was BDSM.
Right. And you wanted to make sure that that was clear from the get-go.
Well, why would I want to be with somebody who wasn't?
Well, but a lot of people I have met people who get into a relationship and then ask me, how should I go about and tell this person that that's what I want? And then it's like, well, you know, you've waited a whole year. Like, this is, you know, now it might be problematic. So the advice I always give is, if that's your interest, you know, say it from the get-go so that you at least you know, are able to find a match for yourself.
Exactly.
Anyway,
well said.
The music means we're out. So that's it for us. Thank you for listening to Passion, and thank you for your texts, and thanks to Pierre and Catherine for joining me. Thanks for your time and your expertise, of course.
Thank you
to Dave Simon in Master Control and to all of you. You can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dr. Lori Betito, last name spelled B-E-T-I-T-O. You can also reach me through my website, drlaurie.com, drlaurie.com. Coming up next on CJD, it's The Comedy Show with Joey Elias. We'll talk to you again tomorrow evening. Right now, I want to wish you a great rest of the night, and remember to live your life with passion.